WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The kind of Sturm und Drang that make great opera great also figure in the plot of the new novel, The Girl Who Trod on a Loaf. But critic John Leonard says he's impressed by the way author Catherine Davis has discarded many of the other conventions of the art form.
Although it was a folk song and a broadside before Hans Christian Andersen got a hold of it, the basic storyline of The Girl Who Trod on a Loaf remains consistent and punitive. A bad girl, rather than dirty her brand new shoes while crossing the Danish bog, steps instead on the loaf of bread she's supposed to bring to her mother. For this, she's punished by being cast down to the bog's bottom and petrified in the devil's courtyard, where only her eyes can move, and then only backwards to see her evil thoughts. In Catherine Davis's wonderful novel, this nasty tale is what the elderly Danish feminist lesbian composer, Helle Ten Brix, wants to turn into her last opera. Except that in Helle's opera, a loaf of bread is a symbol of oppression, and a shoe is a uterus. But Helle may die of emphysema before she can finish her opera, which is why she removes herself from Europe to upstate New York, where she will first befriend and then possess Frances Thorne. Frances is a conservatory-educated waitress in an airport diner and the mother of bright twin girls. She lives, of course, above a bakery and has been downwardly mobile ever since a shameful violence done to her. Helle leads Frances to wonder, on behalf of all the women who've ever died in all the operas composed by men, if such art is really necessary, and whether you can ever trust a tenor. What happens next in this astonishing novel defies synopsis. We're told that a love of hyperbole is essential to the operatic vision. Who could remember all the details of such complicated stories? Who in their right mind would want to? People jumping in and out of closets, stabbing each other, yodeling. And so it goes in The Girl Who Trod on a Loaf. We get adultery, murder, and demonic possession. But as in the richest of fairy tales, there are also locks and keys, towers and crows, a masked ball and a wicked stepmother, not to mention Norse myth and Freudian psychology and European fascism. Most of all, we get music. So much Mozart, as if the chord of the whole novel were the dominant seventh of the magic flute, on the verge of resolving itself in pure inspiration. But also Puccini, Wagner, Alban Berg, and of course the human voice, called here that most tragic of all instruments, the hopeful human voice, singing, trying to hold a note forever. Each of Helle's operas is described in dazzling detail, including quotes from their rich and witty libretti. And it's not only as if Catherine Davis were another Nabokov, showing off, but also an amazing vindication of feminist theory. None of these operas, rich in an alternative symbolism, could have been written by a man. They partake of an imagination entirely other to the grand tradition of the 19th century stage, and to those ritual spaces of 20th century theater, the crematoria and the gulag. All art, we are told, is about captivity and escape, and no art has ever saved anybody's life, and all artists are monsters. A grim message, maybe, but a brilliant orchestration in a novel as deeply textured, as deftly assured, as haunting, and as harmonious as any I've read in years.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Girl Who Trod on a Loaf by Catherine Davis.